this. Presented by the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Shave Creams for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave. And here's Colgate Palmolive Feet Company's master of ceremonies, Dennis James.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This? Our unrehearsed laugh circus with Ward Wilson pinch hitting for Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Hello.
And here's the people's representative, our storytelling genius, Peter Donald, to tell the first joke of the evening, which comes from Wesley Bankston of Humboldt, Tennessee. And it's on the subject of arrest. You ready, Pete?
Arrest?
Take, arrest. Jail. Take them in.
Not vacation.
Jail.
Arrest.
Go ahead, Peter.
Well, it seems that a policeman arrested a fella, hailed him into court, and there he was standing before the magistrate. And, oh, this was a tough magistrate. This was a tough judge, a hard-bitten guy, very callous. Very, very callous. Well, 10 years on the bench, what can you expect? Very, very tough man. So he looked at the prisoner, and he said, all right. He said, what are the charges? So the officer says, Your Honor, he says, it's 4 a.m. in the morning, and I was walking my beat when I looked down the street, and I seen this here character walking along with nothing on him but this barrel he's wearing. The magistrate looked at the prisoner. He said, do you mean to tell the court you were walking along the street with just a barrel on you?
He said, yes, Your Honor, I guess that's true. I was walking along the street wearing just this barrel, and believe me, it got pretty drafty between 18th and 19th on Chestnut Street, and the officer arrested me.
Magistrate said, this is disgraceful. How did you lose your clothes? Are you a poker player?
He says, oh, no, sir.
He said, what, you're not a poker player?
He says, no, sir, but I spent last night with some fellas who were poker players.
Well, the ante went right up there, Pete. The Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter had a big 1,000 on it, so you took the first pot. We're sending $25 to Mr. Bankston, but our three wits will just have to try to tie it. Who's first? Harry Hirschfield, I see.
Well, there's a goofy gag going around. An old man, about 92 years old, and a fellow sees him, says, I haven't seen you in a year. Where were you?
He says, I was arrested and I was in jail.
Said, you were arrested in jail? You?
Says, yes. I was in jail, so what happened? So I'm standing on a corner, and along comes a beautiful woman, the most beautiful blonde you ever saw, with a policeman, and says, that's the man, that's the man. He grabbed me like a caveman and took me in his automobile, and he says he took me and hugged me and kissed me, and he took me in the woods and abducted me, and I was there, a prisoner, for 3 weeks.
The guy said, didn't you deny it?
Says, no, it was so flattering, I accepted it.
What was that, Harry Hirschfield doing an old man? All right, Harry.
Personal touch there, Joe, I think.
The Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter registered a 1,000 up there for young or old. Ward Wilson is second.
I was thinking one that came out of the war that I like very much about this poor little refugee in a Nazi-dominated section of Germany, and the food was very scarce, and this little fella had gotten a live chicken. He was bringing it home, and he got about a block away from where he'd obtained the chicken, and one of these big Nazi stormtroopers hit him and says, what are you doing there? What do you got in the bag?
Says, I got in the bag a chicken.
Says, a live chicken?
He says, yeah, it's a live chicken.
He says, what do you feed the chicken?
He says, well, I give him little bits of grain, wheat, rye, everything.
He says, that's a fine thing. The German nation's starving for wheat, rye. You feeding to a chicken. He really beats him up, but gives it to him good. Knocks him all around the street. Guy gets up, he gets the chicken, puts it under his arm. Again, he gets about another block. Another Nazi stormtrooper hits him. Says, what do you got in the bag?
He says, I got in the bag a chicken.
He says, what do you feed the chicken?
He says, feed it, I give him little crumbs of bread, waste crumbs of bread. He says, that's a fine thing. The German nation's starving for bread. You feed him to a chicken. Woof! And off he goes again. Really lathers him up, but good. So he picks himself up. He gets dusted off. He gets the chicken now under his arm. Gets one block from home, and another stormtrooper hits him. He says, what do you got in the bag? He says, I got in the bag a chicken.
He says, a live chicken?
He says, yeah, not in good shape, but a live chicken.
He says, why do you feed the chicken?
He says, what?
He says, why do you feed the chicken?
He says, why do I feed him? To tell you the truth, when he gets hungry, I give him a penny. He buys anything he wants.
Well, Ward, that chicken must have had a lot of feathers on it because it tickled an awful lot of people. It was a big, round 1,000. So Joe kind of put you in an awkward spot.
Well, I just happened to remember a gag that Mickey Alpert, the great MC of the Havana Madrid.
MC?
mental case. You know him, Harry. You know him.
I represent that remark, Harry.
He's the fellow that is waved by a baton.
Yeah, well, he's the master without ceremony. He's a great guy, a great fellow. But he told me the story that sits in here about the judge, and he looks at the down, and he sees this young fella in front of him. He says, "Officer, what? Is this the prisoner?" He says, "Yes, sir." "So what is it? Delinquent kid?" He says, "Well, sir." He says, "What'd you arrest him for?" He says, "He stole a petticoat out of a store." He says, "Young man, did you steal a petticoat out of a store?" He says, "Yes, Your Honor, that was my first slip."
While you're winning.
Yeah, but he says, "I'm ashamed of you. Young boy, you stole a petticoat out of a store. Think of your mother." He says, "I did. That's why I got size 45.
All right, Joe, that was another 1,000. So our first round was a perfect one. And so we send to Mr. Bankston $25 for the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling his story on the air. And now here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty. You can actually see and feel the difference. And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. Yes, actual scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate's instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. Nationwide tests of leading toothpaste prove that Colgate's is preferred for flavor over every other brand tested. Yes, preferred over every other brand tested. And no wonder, for Colgate Dental Cream is the result of constant effort to produce the finest toothpaste in the world today. For cleaning teeth, for flavor, for sweetening breath. So see if you don't agree with the millions who have made Colgate Dental Cream America's favorite toothpaste. Try Colgate Dental Cream to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy. And always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
And now, gentlemen, let's continue our contest of wit and humor. Here's a joke which was sent in by Miss Mildred Jello of East Boston, Massachusetts. And the subject in the joke is jealousy. Jello, jealousy, you've got it, have you, everybody? Peter Donald, you all ready?
Jello, is it?
Jello. No, the subject is jealousy. The name is Jello. G-I-E-L-L-O. I guess it's pronounced Jello.
That's all right with me.
It sets all right with you.
I think he's just trying to get another subject.
See if you can't make this thing gel someplace along the line, will you, Pete?
Well, this happened over in Brooklyn, and my two girlfriends over there, Sadie DeKalb and Gertrude, will go honest. They got invited to a wedding of one of their friends, at least one of the girls in the group. So it's a lovely affair, and everything's decorated pretty, and the bride is there with the orange blossoms in her arms, and the groom has four roses on his breast, and everything. So all of a sudden, the girl's watching the bridal procession, and Sadie turns to Gertie.
And she says, "Oh, look, I found, here comes the bride."
"Gentlemen," said Jane, "she's gorgeous. Oh, she's lovely. Look at that dress. Isn't that pretty? Look at that long train with the two little train bearers holding on to it."
She says, "Train bearers, don't be dopey. Those are the dressmaker's kids. They won't let go until it's paid for. What do you think?" "Oh, that dame. Oh, that Greer McGillicuddy. She puts on such airs just because she's marrying a fella in the lumber business. A big lumberman. Sells toothpicks to delicatessens. Look at her. Oh, I could give her such a hit."
The other one says, "Listen, I think you're jealous because you wouldn't like to have married him yourself. After all, she's a very, very beautiful girl."
"She says, yes, so what may I presume to inquire is so beautiful about her?"
She says, "Well, Sadie, after all, she's got a gorgeous mouth. It's just like a Cupid's bow."
She says, "Oh, it's like a Cupid's bow. Well, let me tell you, it ought to be like a bow. She's always shooting it off."
Well, Peter, you shot off the Colgate Palm Olive Laugh Meter, too, brother, to a big round 1,000. Again, it's an automatic $25 for Miss Jello, and our three wits will have to try to work to tie it. Joe Laurie, Jr., first.
A couple of fellas meeting. One fella says, "Say, how's your brother Jimmy, that handsome fella? You know, that brother of yours, that sheik. He's, he died." "So, Jimmy is dead. Oh, gee, I'm sorry to hear that." He says, "What did he die of?" He says, "He was in love with a woman." "So, died of a broken heart, eh?" He says, "No, a broken neck. Her husband came home." there was another guy.
Yes, there was another guy. But let me give you the scoring, actually, Joe. It was an 850 on the Colgate-Palmolive.
I'm going to steal petticoats from now on.
Maybe that was your first slip. Okay, ready, Harry?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of crazy stories, but I don't think I've heard anyone crazier than this one. You know, with the housing shortage, especially in hotels, you got to double up with other people, strangers. And one fella, he had enough trouble sleeping by himself in the head of a strange guy. So these two go up there, and right away, the fella with him, a goof, goes right to sleep. I don't know how envious he was of this guy, how jealous he was that the guy could sleep, if he could only sleep like this guy. But in a few minutes, this guy started to snore, one of those snores with a whistle. You know that business. And this fella says, oh, now it's going to be fine. I can't sleep and look at... Oh, so this guy is snoring and remembers that he heard someplace that if you snap your finger, it breaks up a snore. So he snaps the finger, and the fella stops snoring. But he doesn't stop long enough for him to fall asleep himself. Again, the guy starts snoring with that whistle. Again, he snaps, but still not enough time to go to sleep. And that's the way it went all night. The next morning, he says to this goof, this pest who was snoring, said, how'd you sleep? I slept good, but I could sleep better. He says, you know you got a bad habit of snapping your fingers?
Well, that's all there is. There is no snore, so I'll give you the score, Harry. You know, I bet you that it got 1,000, actually. I bet it would have gotten 2,000 if you could have gotten the whistle in. Sometime tell him Ward will whistle for
what, you. What, and ruin his teeth? I don't know of anybody in the front row that wants these teeth.
Okay, that was a 1,000, Harry. So, Ward, it's up to you again.
Well, I was thinking of one along jealousy lines. I think Senator Ford told quite a while back about the... fellow who owned a parrot and had a bunch of ducks, and the parrot was very jealous of the ducks, and every time the parrot would get loose, he'd go out and chase the ducks all over the place and peck at them, pull their feathers out, really gave them a bad time. So the fellow got the parrot, and he started to talk to him. He said, now, you stop this monkey business with these ducks and leave them alone. He said, the next time you do any of that foolishness, I'm going to pull every feather out of you. So a couple of days later, the parrot got loose again. He goes out and starts chasing the ducks again. The guy catches him, brings him in. He said, I told you, if you chase those ducks once more, I was going to take every feather off you. So he tore all the feathers off the parrot. So the parrot is feeling pretty conspicuous. And two or three days later, he said, now I'm going to give you a chance to get back in good graces again. He said, I'm having a party tonight, and you get up there on that chandelier, and when the people come into the party, he said, you say, ladies to the left, gentlemen to the right. That's all you have to do, but do it right. So the parrot gets up on the chandelier, and the guests start to arrive, and he says, ladies to the left, gentlemen to the right. Ladies to the left, gentlemen to the right. And just then, a couple of bald-headed guys came through the door, and he looked down at them, and he says, and you two duck haters, come on up here with me.
Ward, you're in a foul mood tonight, aren't you? First the chickens, then the ducks. I'm not even going to question it. I guess somebody in there was jealous of somebody. I don't know, but that's what the topic was. It was a big 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter. That completes another round, and so we send Miss Jello $25 since Pete got the first 1,000. With the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. And now, before we go into the next round, I'd like to ask all of you folks to compete in this weekly gag fest. All jokes told by Peter Donald have been submitted by our listeners. So send your favorite joke to Can You Top This, care of NBC New York, or the station to which you're listening. Now, of course, in cases of similarity, we'll have to be the sole judges of who is paid. And in every case, the decision of the judges is final. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter in full view of the studio audience. Our three wits have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes to make them fit the subject. So, all right, let's continue now with the laughs, gentlemen. Our next joke comes from Harold Catchell of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it's on the subject of boasting, bragging. You know, do you have it? Mr. Donald, take off.
Our two friends, one fellow's Pat Mulvaney, the other fellow is Michael Houlihan, a couple of Chinese fellas, and they were great friends, and one day they're down having a couple of drinks down at Pierre Murphy's Salon de Booze down on the corner, sort of a hangover heaven, and they start bragging about their relatives. So Mike turns to Pat.
He said, you know something, Patrick, me boy? Me Uncle Jimmy is a great inventor. Oh, he's a great man, so he is.
The other fellow says, No, wait a minute. What did he ever invent?
He says, what did he ever invent? Why, you ignoramus, don't you ever read the papers? Me uncle invented the safest airplane in the world. The greatest, safest airplane in the world. It can't possibly crash.
She's worried about it. It can't crash. You can't get it off the ground. That's why. You're talking about airplanes. You should listen to me little nephew. Me little nephew Dennis. Now, there's an inventor. The boy invented an airplane, you see. And he flew it up in the sky himself. Now, he's been flying up there for 9 months. 3 weeks ago, he ran out of gasoline, and the boy is too proud and stubborn to come down.
He said, wait a minute. He'll have to come down because the law of gravity will make him come down.
Oh, he says, you think so, do you? You think so? The law of gravity will make him come down. He says, that's how smart me nephew is. He went up before the law was passed.
Well, Peter, the Colgate palm out of laugh meter needle just went up to greet him at 1,000 to tell him everything was okay. He could come down now. So you're way out in front again, Pete. Now, three whistles just have to work again. Ward Wilson is first this time.
Well, that dialect of Pete reminded me of the one about the American who was visiting England for the first time, and he met this Englishman whom he knew, and he asked him how he was enjoying things. He said, fine, having a wonderful time. He said, where have you been? He says, I was down to Leicester Square yesterday and looked at... He said, I beg your pardon? He said, I went down to Leicester Square. He said, no. He says, we don't call it Leicester over here, old boy. He says, that's Leicester Square. He says, oh. He said, well, I went down there anyway, and then I went down to Cholmondeley Road, and I beg your pardon. He said, I went down to Cholmondeley Road. He says, no, not Cholmondeley, old boy. Chumley. He says, oh, okay. So I went down there, and he says, then I went over to Charing Cross Road, and I was good. He said, I beg your pardon. He said, I was down on Charing Cross Road. He said, not Charing Cross, Caring Cross. He says, oh, well, anyway, I was down. He said, incidentally, you ever been to the United States? He says, oh, yes, quite. So I was over there a few years ago. He says, I was most impressed with that big waterfall you have up there in the state of New York somewhere. He says, good. Let me see now. Oh, yes, Niagara Falls. He says, what was that? He says, Niagara Falls. He says, oh, no. He says, in the United States, we call that Niffles.
Well, it was Niffle at all, Ward, because you got a big 1,000. Who's ready to step into this thing now? Harry Hirschfield, go ahead.
There was a goof, and he prided himself that he was a paragon of virtue. So he meets the judge of the town, and this judge is the leading citizen. He says, Judge, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what kind of a man I'm growing up to be. I says, I was in a theater, and there was a beautiful girl. She was really beautiful. She was a beautiful blonde, that I got to admit. And she was flirting with me, but I turned my head away. I was strong. I wasn't going to let her tempt me. No. And he says, then she sent an usher over with a note. I should meet her out after the show out in front. But I sneaked out before the show was over because I have character and I wasn't going to meet her. The judge says, you will get your reward in heaven. So this bothered this goof all night. The next day he comes down to the judge. He said, what reward do you think I'll get in heaven? He says, a bale of hay, you big jackass.
Trouble at all. Another 1,000. Of course, I've got to get you guys back on the right track, though. I don't know where the boasting is coming in. That's the only thing.
What do you mean, boasting?
That's the subject of the round.
Well, what is your definition of boasting?
Brag. Oh, putting me on the spot. Now, let it go. I just mean bragging or something. I'll come back to you, Harry.
When you answer Harry, I have a good one, too.
All right, I'll answer Harry. It's bragging, Harry.
Well, isn't a fellow bragging about his ability and strength and character? Isn't that boasting?
I guess so. All right. What's yours, Ward? Go ahead.
Well, I got... Oh.
Ward had a question.
Well, this is about these two women that come to see Mr. Vinowitz. And she says, I'm so happy you come. Oh, I'm so happy you come to visit me. She says, I bought so wonderful, such wonderful antiques. I bought the most wonderful antiques. They're the greatest things you ever saw. Look, girls, go on. She says, you've never been in the house before. Go on, look around. Look, let's see the different things I'm going to kiss them and make sandwiches and coffee. So the two dames walk around. She says, oh, look at that lamp. Look at that lamp. That's a good antique. That's it. Look at that chair. Oh. Yeah, but she's always boasting. She's always bragging about it. Look at that table. That's another good antique. Ah. She says, I wonder where she got that huge chest. She says, I don't know, but they say her mother is built the same way.
Another perfect sound. Another perfect down, boys. A 1,000 all the way through. So
that's
first...
boasting.
That's boasting, yes. I'm boasting for you. In fact, I'm boasting for Peter Donelow. He got it first. So to Mr. Catcher, we send $25 with the compliments of Palmolive Shave Creams, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donelow telling his story on the air. And now here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive Shave Cream comes both ways. And whichever method you use, you'll find the new Palmolive Shave Cream way to shave means more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for three men out of every four. Yes, three men out of every four get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Shave Cream way. It's a fact, men, not a promise. 2,548 men tried the new Palmolive way to shave, and no matter how they shaved before, 79% found beards cut easier, 75% less razor pull, 69% closer shaves, 80% smoother feeling skin. And three out of every four got more comfortable, actually smoother shave. Just get Palmolive Shave Cream, either brushless or lather, and do this. Wash your face with soap and water. Rinse. Then soap face thoroughly again. Do not rinse. Work Palmolive Shave Cream upward into beard to get the full benefit of Palmolive Shave Cream's beard conditioning effect. Then shave. That's all. But remember, Palmolive Shave Cream, either brushless or lather, offers proof of more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for three men out of every four.
All right, gentlemen, all set now for another round? This one is sent in by Frank and Marie Buccolo of Los Angeles, California. And it's on the subject of argument. You know how to handle that, don't we? Go ahead, Pete.
Well, it's about my favorite couple, Mr. and Mrs. Abercrombie Fafufnik, and they were having a little family squabble, and she turned to him.
She said, "Oh, yeah, Abe, I hate you to pieces, not you. You dirty dog, you snake in the pussy willows, you." She said, "The way you are treating me when we was first married, you said such cutie pie words to me. You said I had teeth like pearls. Then I met Pearl, I knew what you meant. And then you're always making love to me. You used to say that I was a haunted doll. I had lips like rose petals."
He says, "Yeah, yeah, and recently they're starting to look like bicycle petals."
She says, "Well, why not? You never remember the anniversaries or the birthdays or nothing. My neighbor, Mrs. Feitelbaum, for her anniversary, she got a gorgeous radio set. Three, she bought a beautiful set. Cost $700. For me, you bought a radio, cost $6.90.
He says, "So what? On Mrs. Feitelbaum's radio, she can only get one station at a time. You can get five on yours."
"That's not it. You just never give me anything nice anymore."
He says, "What are you talking about? On your last birthday, didn't I save your life?"
She says, "What is this? You saved my life?"
He says, "Now, wait a minute. Think abyssal. When I asked you, what would you do if I bought you a birthday present, what did you say?"
She said, "I said I would drop dead."
He says, "So there, didn't I save your life?"
Well, Peter, the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter set a 1,000, so you saved the lives of the Buccolos, too. Harry Hirschfield was first.
Two drunks in the saloon, and they're getting drunker by the minute and getting into arguments. And one finally said, "As I was you, if you get me mad, I'll give you a smash in the face, and I'll send you to the hospital." That fella said, "I've had a billion smash in the face, and I've been in every hospital in the world." Fella says, "You've been in every hospital in the world? I make a bet you haven't been in every hospital in the world." He said, "It's a bet." He says, "You were never in a woman's hospital." He says, "That's where I was born."
Boy, you boys are cooking tonight. No kidding. That was another 1,000 in there, Harry, for you. Little Joe Lowry, Jr.
Kid comes into his mother. He says, "Hey, Mom, what's that statue in the hall?" He says, "That's General Grant. That's a statue of General Grant." He says, "It's all busted. Who did it?" He says, "Your father brought it home last night from the meeting. 3 o'clock in the morning, he staggered in." He says, "Yes, but it's all busted." He says, "Your father had an argument with him about keeping his hat on in the house."
"7-5-0, little Joe from Kokomo."
I like those kind. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm glad you do like them.
His slip was the wrong size, that
yes. 7-5-0. Did you get the count on it, Joe? All right, Ward, it's up.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it, huh? Keep it, Joe.
I had another one in mind, Denny, but Harry mentioning that bar room reminds me of what I think was the funniest gag of last year about the fellow that walks in the bar room and he said, "Give me a couple of shots of whiskey." So the bartender sets him up and he drinks one of them, he takes the other one and pours it inside of his coat in his vest pocket. So the bartender looks at him and he says, "Give me the same thing again." So he pours two more drinks and he drinks one and pours the other one inside his coat pocket. And the bartender says, "What are you doing there?" He says, "Mind your own business. Give me two more drinks." So he sets up two more drinks. He drinks one, he takes the other one, pours it in his coat again. And the bartender says, look, what are you doing? He says, mind your own business. He said, give me a couple more drinks. So the same procedure again. He pours the last one in his pocket, and the bartender says, look, buddy, I want to know, what are you doing with that other drink? He says, wait a minute. Keep your mouth shut or I'll come over that bar and bust you right in the snoot. And with that, a little white mouse stuck his head out from his vest, and he says, yeah, and that goes for your cat, too.
Well, Ward, you did it. Mighty fine up there. That Colgate palm olive laugh meter read a big round 1,000. But, of course, you know what happened on this round. Pete started off again in a perfect fashion, got a 1,000 for Mr. and Mrs. Buckalo. So we're going to send Mr. and Mrs. Buckalo of Los Angeles, California, $25 with the compliments of palm olive shave creams, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling their story on the air. Well, we've got about 30 seconds in here, fellas. Anything you've got to say?
That's all I can tell you. There was a circuses in town, and you know that cotton candy they got there? Well, this year it's mostly rayon.
You know, the old circus stories I like is about the circus. You know, they say an elephant never forgets. And once a guy did him a great favor. So when the elephant came out in Madison Square Garden, he recognized the guy. And the elephant walked over, took him out of the 25-cent seats and put him in a $5 box.
Like, that's what? The same elephant that I told a gag about last year, Harry. He got very thirsty walking down a stream, and a nice, cool, clear stream, and he finally decided he was going to get a drink the way he wanted it, so he stuck his long trunk into the stream, and he was just beginning to get a lot of water to quench his thirst, and an alligator opened his mouth and snapped down on his trunk, and the elephant pulled back this way. And he said, very funny, very funny.
Well, boys, as far as I'm concerned, the whole session tonight was very funny, very funny. It's time for us to go. No kidding, fellas. So, friends, we're going to talk to you for a second. Join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford. Next week, same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we'll remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Ward Wilson for Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Dennis James.
And Dan Donaldson saying goodnight for the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Shave Creams for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave.
For soft, glamorous, dream girl hair, try Luster Cream Shampoo. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, tubes or jars, whichever you prefer. 49 and 25 cents. Be a dream girl. A Luster Cream girl.
Dream girl.